We're going to read a selection of scriptures today. They're also on the back of your bulletin. But let me read Ephesians 5:15 from there for context. And then we're going to read all the way through verse 21. It picks up on the bulletin at verse midway through 18. You can join in there. Then we're going to read Ephesians 5, 1 Thessalonians, Colossians 2, and Psalm 9:1 as our foundation for our scripture today. But let's put the word of God before us today. Allow me to start with Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. And I join in. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 on your bulletin. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so also walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Psalm 9, 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. Let's pray. Father, as we place these scriptures before us today, we are drawn to the theme that we are to be a thankful people. Thanksgiving characterizes our faith, and we are called to be consistent to that end. Lord, help us today to be a thankful people in the way that you expect us to be thankful. Forgive us when we lack. Uphold us, Lord, by your strong right hand, and help us see life, this life, through your eyes, that we may walk by faith and not by sight, that we may truly believe that you are Lord, you are sovereign, you are master of all, and no one can thwart your plans, your purposes. Help us, Lord, to live our lives under that umbrella of protection and love and mercy. We pray, Lord, as we now pay attention to your word, that each and every one of us is just laid low where we need to be, so that we may be lifted high by the grace of Christ. We give you thanks, Lord, and yet we want to be more thankful than we currently are. And may the time we spend here today go towards that end, Lord. For we know that is your will for us in Christ Jesus. We pray these things with thanksgiving in the name of Christ. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you. I purposely wanted to address this whole theme of thanksgiving, given that it is the season of thanksgiving. And we've been speaking about the unity that is necessary in the church universal, but also in the church local. And I made this statement here today as a title, that unity of faith is characterized by consistent gratitude among God's people. Consistent gratitude to God among God's people. And those scriptures that we read today just basically set the tone for the time we're going to have in the Word of God this morning. You'll notice in Ephesians 5, Paul exhorted the Ephesian believers to be a people who are giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then to the Thessalonian church, he said, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then Colossians, as we are rooted and built up, that we grow up in the Lord to maturity, we are to be, what, abounding in thanksgiving as that happens. Then even in the Old Testament, and what the psalm that Gary read, the theme of that again was thanksgiving. Look how the psalmist told us how we are to give thanks. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart as I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. There's a wholeness of thanksgiving that God requires of us. You know, we can quite easily, I think, find ways to be thankful on a patriotic level and on a sentimental level, especially at this time of year with when we are thankful for our nation and for family and friends. And it's good to do so, and we ought to, and I pray that your thanksgiving that you've just are having or closing now has been one that you have truly said, thank you, Lord, for this country, for little Englanders like me coming to America. I'm thankful for this nation. It's awesome. We never said awesome in England until I came here. We say awesome in England. I'm going to read you just for a reason to be thankful for the Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1863 by Abraham Lincoln. It's amazing. 243 years after the Pilgrim Father set sail from my hometown in Plymouth, England. That's where I was born and raised. The Pilgrim Father set sail from 5 miles down from where I actually live. When Americans go to England, they go to my hometown and they have this, the Mayflower steps, they say, stone steps leading down into the water from where the Mayflower supposedly set sail from. We always laughed at the Americans when they would kind of, we didn't really laugh, but we kind of recognized there they were, the Americans standing by the steps having their pictures taken of the historic place. But to think that during the Civil War, that Abraham Lincoln, 243 years after the Pilgrim Fathers had their first Thanksgiving, declared Thanksgiving the fourth Sunday of November as a day of Thanksgiving. Listen to how he said that, and this in the midst of the Civil War. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere, except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements and the mines, as well as the iron and coal, as of our precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp. The siege and the battlefield and the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly reverently and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the imposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be fixed. Done this day, at the city of Washington, 3rd of October, 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 88th, Abraham Lincoln. Isn't that amazing? The President of the United States. That's what he called his people to be. Thankful in the midst of a ravaging civil war. So how could you not go through, if you pay attention, how could you not, when we look around at the blessings of our nation and our country, be thankful? So we can, and I said that because I think that's what our nation has just done. But then not even that, right? Would you agree? Well, actually, we didn't do that, actually. We thanked God perhaps for the turkey. Maybe. But most people can be thankful to someone or something on a patriotic level or a sentimental level. But what about when it comes to thinking about thankfulness, gratefulness, gratitude on a theological level, according to the scriptures? When we do that, which we'll do now for this next time, we should soon find that this is not only a high and lofty calling, but one that we really find impossible to do. The impossibility of thanksgiving, the way that God calls us to be thankful. See, scripture, it calls for consistent gratitude among God's people. And the idea of giving thanks to God was central, definitely, to Paul's entire ministry. To him, it was not one of the virtues that characterize the Christian life, but it is rather the characteristic of faith. The characteristic of our faith is one of immense gratitude to God. And the rest of Scripture affirms this. Our main text, Ephesians 5:20, just really helps us to get to the heart of the matter of what it is to be theologically thankful to God. Contextually, in Ephesians 5, Paul is in the practical application of what it is to apprehend the incredible riches and blessings, spiritual blessings, of being found in Christ. After that last song, "All I Have Is Christ," when you get the thought of that song, who we once were, rebels, lost, without a cause, without any hope, with no desire to even give thanks to God. That was one of man's main problems in the beginning in Romans 1, is that we didn't honor God, nor what? Give thanks to him. No intention of giving thanks to God. That's the root cause of man's dilemma of despair. So Paul in Ephesians 5, the text I read, he's exhorting the people to be careful how you walk your life. He says, don't be foolish, but be wise. There's been a change. You were dead in your sin. You're now alive in Christ. You were once in Adam. You're now in Christ. So walk that way but not as wise, but as not as unwise, but as wise, making the most use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil and the time is short. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But what? Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit that you have been given already. Continually be filled with that Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So there's an aspect of worship and praise. And that is accompanied by what we're going to focus on for our text today. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That word also include being thankful for one another, wouldn't it? It's one thing to say, give thanks to God, but it's the little phrases that are just like tacked on there that give us problems, isn't it? It's a couple of words there that kind of jump out, cause us to say, are you serious? The living God calls his people whom he has redeemed to be a people who are so filled with his Spirit, so moved by the gospel of grace, so in love with him, that we are continually worshiping him. We cannot help but sing and make melody in our heart. We can't help, we're just worshipers. And along with that, right along with that, comes this characteristic of faith, which is the giving of thanks to God. What? Always. And for everything. See, that is where we're stopped short. We know we are to, and we got every reason to give thanks to God. Look at who he is. Look at what he's done for us. How can we not give him thanks and praise? And lay our lives before him. How can we do anything less than that? Because of who he is and what he's done. But in the nitty gritty of everyday humdrum life, when stuff happens, the gospel of Christ is to bear down upon everything that happens in our lives. Everything. There's no wiggle room for that. And that's where we're left short, isn't it? Always, for everything, you've got to be joking. That's impossible. Yes, it is. In the human flesh, isn't it? You see, God isn't asking us to gird up our minds and our lives and become a thankful people. From a human perspective, he's showing us, just like when he gives us the commandment, which is summed up in one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, we are stopped short there. Just with this too, when we are told to give thanks to God for everything, always, we have to realize that we cannot do this apart from the Spirit of God producing that thankfulness in our hearts. Just as we've talked about the love of God that we are to show to one another, the 1 Corinthians 13 love that we are to love one another with, we recognize that that is not natural to us, right? It is foreign to us. We need the infusion of the Spirit and the outpouring of the work of God to love one another the way that God calls us to, the unconditional loving, even to loving our enemies. Same thing here. And I don't think I've given it enough thought. I think I've been trying, without even knowing so much, I've been trying to be thankful to God in my own flesh too much. Does anyone else have that trouble? And so, because of that, there's a lot of stuff in my life that I haven't been thankful for at all. A lot of stuff that I have not been thankful for. In fact, I've been quite bitter and angry about it. That's sin. That's lack of faith. That's not walking in a manner worthy of being called Christian, is it? This must be a work of God. So if we can get to the point, we know we are to give thanks always and for everything to God in the name of Christ. If we understand, okay, this has to be a work of God. Stop trying in your own flesh to be more thankful. It is not sufficient to just say, well, I'm going to change my perspective. I'm going to start looking at things differently. I'm going to become a positive thinker from now on. I am now going to see the cup half full instead of half empty. I'm just going to count my many blessings and name them one by one. And count my many blessings and see what God has done. I'm going to sing the songs over and over again and I'll just be thankful, right? Doesn't work that way. That'll work for a little while. But when it comes to the always and everything part, and you find yourself struggling to be thankful, it'll fall short. So I want you to identify right now in your hearts and minds things happening in your life right now that you know you're not thankful for, really. I'm not saying thankful, oh, yippee, this is great. Joy, unspeakable, just keep on being sick, keep on being unemployed, keep on being homeless, whatever. Not like just, I love this situation. But situations that in your heart of hearts, you know that you are not thankful to God for it. Why? Because you're not willing to see it from his perspective. And you'll probably find more than one, but there may be one major one that's even like our unsaved loved ones, you know, who continue to walk away, or children or brothers or sisters or friends who are going through ridiculously hard situations, and we're to be thankful for that. How can we even begin to cultivate such a posture of gratitude to God? Always for everything. Well, Paul tells us at the tail end of verse 20 how we're to do that. We ought to give thanks to God. How? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus must have first done something in us that results in him producing this kind of thanksgiving. And that must be first and foremost the work of salvation, mustn't it? This characteristic of faith is for those who are thankful first to God in Christ for our salvation. This morning as we're singing those songs, it'd be hard not to be thankful for your salvation. Just for that, the big one, the salvation. But that thanksgiving for salvation, we know it has to filter down, doesn't it? It has to filter down to today. Now Sunday, the Lord's Day, when you're here, it's a easier place to be thankful. But tonight and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, when the work starts coming in again, and you're just reeling under the pressure, when things aren't going the way that you would hope they would, or even expected, or think they should be going, because you're doing everything right, to be thankful, then that's what God's calling us to do. That's hard. That's impossible. We have to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of salvation first. Which has set into motion the beginning of the transformation of our heart and the renewing of our minds. Thankfulness is to be a lifestyle, not a lip service. It's so easy to make it lip service, isn't it? Just to say, I am and thankful for these things, for the situation. But we know deep down we're not. We say it, but our life doesn't show it. We have to guard against what someone called pedestrian thanksgiving, just like humdrum, ordinary thankfulness, which isn't accompanied by worship and praise. We are to give thanks to God, the psalmist says, with all our heart, seeing it as part of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The proper outworking of the Holy Spirit in the child of God is one of thanksgiving or gratitude, which is also clearly connected with worship and praise and serving God by serving others. I'll give you a Shakespeare line. I'm not a Shakespearean, but this is a good from King Lear. How sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? How sharper is it? How sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? We don't like thankless children, do we? Especially when you give them everything. One second, that's not, we do love thankless children. We don't not like them anymore when they're thankless. But it's hard, isn't it? It's painful. It's painful to have children whom we have given so much to. We've done everything we can for them, as they did for us, our parents. And then they come across as like ungrateful and thankless. How sharper is a, I can't remember what it said. How sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? How much more unnatural and even offensive is ingratitude in those who have become children of the living God. Not to be thankful always for all things in all circumstances. Thankful people are even thankful for the ability to be thankful. Have you ever thought of that before? That if you are a thankful person to God for things that other people outside of Christ are not thankful for, have you ever stopped to say, God, I am so thankful that I'm even thankful for this horrible situation I'm in? See, we have an advantage there, don't we? We have the Spirit of God, the Word of God. We have all the reasons why we should not only be thankful, but be thankful for being thankful. Henry Ward Beecher said this: the unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessing. The thankful heart, as it sweeps through the day, just with that, you start off with thankfulness. And you're like a magnet that finds the iron. And you will find in every hour some heavenly blessings. Are we able to express an attitude of thankfulness to God in the midst of very unwelcome circumstances? What is your natural reaction? Unwelcome circumstances. Okay, participation. Just shout out a few unwelcome circumstances that you have had to endure recently. You don't have to explain how you, I just want to get some examples that there have been in our church some unwelcome circumstances of late. You just say it and we're not going to diagnose how you responded to it. Say again? Sickness. Anyone else had sickness in the household? Okay, what's another one? Continued, like, irritating, on, right? Yeah. And Jim, you're called to be thankful for that, right? Someone else? Ah, difficult co-workers. Lord, I'm supposed to be thankful for that?
Yep.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. What else? An unreasonable boss, even worse than difficult co-workers. An unreasonable boss, right? Just, and you're supposed to what? Give thanks from your heart for everything. Why? Because that's, God says, well, I'm doing something in this that you don't know, right? I'm doing something in this that you don't know what I'm doing. I'm God. I am working something out in your life that wouldn't happen apart from this. Yeah. Unemployment. Lord, I've been unemployed for a long, long time, and no one wants to hire me. I'm supposed to be thankful, Roberta. The fleas, did you say? The F-L-E-A-S? Fleas? Oh, yeah. I've never been thankful for a flea, ever. No mosquito. But you can see that the reversal of circumstances, when things are going kind of as you wanted them to be, and then something comes in and things don't pan out the way you had planned for. When you're driving to work and you don't get there because you have an accident, that's not what was planned. When your team doesn't win the way you had planned, supposed to give thanks. You know, these when you get injured as an athlete, Brian, how's your back? You got a little twinge in your back, right? It's kind of like setting you down for a little bit, huh? As Christians, we're to actually find ways to give thanks to God for that. You see how impossible this is? It's like it goes against the grain. And yet God is saying, but you're my people. I've redeemed you. You're mine. You're made new in Christ. This thankfulness is the foundation of the hope that lies before you, but you start being thankful now. Matthew Henry said this about, here's a good perspective of being robbed. You may have heard this before. Matthew Henry, great Puritan theologian, pastor, of being robbed. I thank thee first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Pretty good perspective, isn't it? It's not easy to do. But you'll notice in thankfulness, when we're thankful people, you'll note the presence of genuine humility. Thankful people are just, they've just been humbled by life and by the gospel of grace. So this, a genuine heart of thanksgiving is a unifying feature of the body of Christ and of a local church. Gratitude to God magnifies our experience of the good things in life, enabling us to enjoy them more thoroughly. Even your Thanksgiving dinner that you just ate of late, that you were able to sit and appreciate it properly and actually enjoy it more because you were being thankful for it. You just eat a little feast on your plate and you were able to say, oh, thank you, Lord, and enjoy it with a thankful heart. You enjoyed it more because you were thankful. If you didn't take time to give thanks in your heart, you just ate it and went back for seconds before you even knew what you'd just eaten. But when we're grateful for even the good things in life, gratitude also helps us to endure the hard things in life with dignity, even humor. How many times have you been able to actually see some humor in difficult circumstances? We tend to do that, don't we, as humans, especially when we get over it a little bit. But These are things that God is teaching us. I'm sure in our fellowship here that you have surely talked with a fellow believer in this congregation who has been going through tough circumstances. You may have been the one who's the one saying, this is what I'm going through. And you would not blame them for not being thankful. If they were to complain or to be down and just showing no thankfulness at all, you wouldn't blame them, and you may even keep them in that spirit of downness, if you like it, made up that word. But what about when this happens and you sense in someone a spirit of thankfulness in spite of adverse circumstances? What does that do to your faith? What does that do to the way you're looking at your own dilemma? Doesn't it kind of build you up when you see someone else saying, you know what, this is the toughest thing I've ever gone through. Ever. How are you doing? It's tough. It's hard. How, in your spirit, what's going on? Well, you know, through it all, I thank God. Isn't that a beautiful thing when you hear someone say that? And then you know that they're not kidding. They're not just trying to sound spiritual, but they're actually serious. And then you talk with them more, and you see their face change. You see a little tear come down. And you see them break, and you see the emotion coming out. But you spend time with them, and you realize that this person is really learning to give thanks to God in this. And then you see them next week and the week after, and there they are, still giving thanks. I could name bunches of you people right now. That wasn't nice, was it? Bunches of you people. There's a lot of you here who I could just, I'm not going to, but I could say, you're a person who's shown me that. You're a person who's shown me that. You're a person. And you've encouraged me, by the way, that you've shown a spirit of thankfulness. And there are others who you know that maybe you haven't. But you have to realize that this is a work of God. God has to produce the work in you. You can't do it by yourself. God has to do a work of working out his grace in order to produce that spirit of thankfulness. But what do we have to do? Can we do anything? We can't just be idle bystanders and wait for God to do his work, right? What can we do? Since we can't produce thanksgiving, what can we do then? Well, we have to go back to the basics again of the Christian life. We can do that part that God has set before us. We use the tools he has given us and the mind that he is renewing us with. We take his word. We meditate upon his word and ask God to produce thankfulness. That's why I mentioned Psalm 118 when I selected that for Gary to read on purpose, because it blessed me when I read it. And as I've heard it again today, it produced a thankfulness in my heart. In Sunday school today, with Steve and Chris teaching on Romans, early part of Romans, if you just sat with it and went through it, I mean, my heart became thankful for who I was in Christ, purely by sitting in Sunday school for 45 minutes and being taught. Did anyone else feel that this morning? Just sitting there, just feel, oh, this is great being Christian. This is what it is to be out of Adam and in Christ. So what we do, we put ourselves under the word of God. We study the word. We meditate upon the word of God. We have our devotions. We read. We go to Bible studies. But as we do that, we ask God to produce in our hearts a spirit of thankfulness. We just beg him, Lord, give me a thankful heart. Because just by doing it doesn't produce it, does it? Just because we're disciplined in doing the right stuff, that isn't the key. God still has to produce the work. So we have to ask him. We have to ask him, beg him, like the farmer who is faithful. What does he do? He tills the land. He sows the seed. He waters. He feeds. He weeds. He does everything. He does everything that he can do. But who produces the crop? God produces the crop. When the crop is given and they are thankful for the crop, who do they thank? They thank God who produced the crop. He doesn't thank the farmer for doing only what he had to do. We are thankful to God. We have to do our part first and leave the big work to God himself. You know how many seconds there are in a day? 86,400 seconds in a day. Have you used one of those so far today to say thank you to God? Or every day, how many of those seconds do you use to truly say thank you to God? That's a lot of seconds. We ought to, as people of God, give intentional time, set apart time, extended time for giving thanks to God, shouldn't we? On purpose. Extended time of God to God for giving him praise. Last story of the in Luke 17, 11 through 19, we get the story of the thankful leper who the 10 lepers went to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on us, help us, heal us. And Jesus didn't heal them right away. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests. And off they went. And on the way, they were healed. Jesus didn't touch them. And they were right not to come to him because that wasn't the right thing to do. They were to keep their distance. But one of them, when he was healed, what did he do? He came back and he fell on his face before Christ and thanked him. While the other 9 continued on the way to show themselves to the high priest to do what should have been done so they could be accepted back into society. It's interesting that the 9 who didn't come back, they were actually obedient to the word of Jesus. They were faithful and they were obedient. They believed him because they went and they were obedient. They did what he told them to do. So they weren't wrong. They were just doing what they were supposed to do. So we can't hammer them too hard for that. But this one, outsider, foreigner, when he saw that he was cleansed, what did he do? He turned around and he went back. And he prostrated himself at the feet of Christ just to say what? Thank you. You know, we can be so busy being obedient and faithful and just doing the Christian thing, serving, reading, studying, teaching, preaching, whatever it is that God has called us to do, that we never take time to spend time with Jesus. Just go to him and spend quality time with Jesus and just say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Not just for saving my soul and for making me whole, but just thank you for who you are in my life today. Thank you for all the things that are happening in my life. Thank you for everything that's happening in my life. As hard as it is, thank you. And knowing that spending time with him is one of the keys that he will produce in us that spirit of thanksgiving. The Christian who walks with the Lord and keeps constant communion with him will see many reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving all day long. That's not rocket science, is it? If we spend time in communion with Christ, he will give us many reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving all day long. Are you a thankful person today? Not just for some things, at some times, but in all things, all times. Let's be honest. No, we're not. Is that better? We're not, right? Let's confess that. Let's ask God humbly to say, Lord, create in me a thankful heart. Create in me a more grateful heart for what my life is all about, as hard as it is. Because that's what you've called me to do. That's what your will for me. It is your will for me to be thankful in all circumstances. And as I do my part in praying and worshiping and serving and studying the scriptures, please, please, Lord, give me a more thankful heart than I currently have. Don't you want to be more thankful for your life? Or do we have to wait until circumstances get way better before we're thankful? That's the way the world does it. We're the family of God. We've been called to give thanks always for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing that that's his will for us. We have the Lord's Supper before us this morning. In many denominations, it's called the Eucharist. What does Eucharist mean? Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. That's what it means. It's a time to give thanks. So as we come to the Lord's Supper today, take this thought, this thankful thing, and ask the Lord to create in our hearts, individually and then together, a true spirit of gratitude to God. Asking him for wisdom to show, Lord, show me what you're doing in this. What am I supposed to learn from this, these situations that I'm in? What am I supposed to stop doing? Is there a sin in my life I have to be rid of? What do I have to do? So, quietly, come to the table. It's for believers. It's for those who, in whom Christ has done the work of salvation. And it's for those who want to walk with him and walk in a manner worthy. So let me pray first to close the sermon, and then we'll ask the brothers to come and we'll move into our Lord's Supper. Father, I've said a lot of words, probably way too many, and I ask that you take the bare word of God that is there. The word is replete with not only reasons to be thankful, but commands to be thankful. And we acknowledge, Lord, that in and by ourselves, we are not a thankful people as we ought to be. We have a hard time being thankful for difficult situations. And even though you tell us to consider all joy in all circumstances, we lack, and we want to be more reflective of who you are, Lord. I pray that you use this time in the Lord's Supper to allow the word of God to sink deeper into our hearts, that you'll give us a humble approach as we come to the table, and you will show us, Lord, the depth of your love for us, and that you will produce in us a heart of thanksgiving. Always, for everything. Help us, Lord, to be that people for your glory and for our greater good. In the name of Christ, we do pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.